All right, we're back here on Talking Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Carey Crowley, and it's a pleasure to welcome in our next guest, our Brewers expert, and he's got a new role covering the Milwaukee Brewers. It's Dominic Catronio. Dom, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Carey. Always great to talk to you, my friend.
Yeah, always great to talk to you. And I think the last time we caught up, the Brewers were rolling. They were atop the National League Central, and you were a statistician covering the team in a different way than you are right now. Let's start with you. You've got a new role covering the Milwaukee Brewers. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I'm the postgame host now on 620 WTMJ, the home of the Brewers. And I'm excited for Brewers Extra Innings and Brewers Weekly. So taking all the calls, taking all the texts, you know, hey, why don't we trade our backup catcher for Mike Trout? You know, why, who says no to that? I'm excited. I'm thrilled. Milwaukee has really embraced me these last 2 years, and they've welcomed me really with open arms, and I'm chatting to you from Wrigley Field. So, I mean, come on. I've really got it made here in the NL Central right now.
Yeah, I will say the NL Central is so much fun, and especially when you get those Milwaukee-Chicago train rides. Nothing better for me. I always love when the Giants did back-to-back, and I could take the train between cities. So really cool opportunity for you. But like I said last time we talked, the Brewers were atop the Central, and right now they're not even in wild card position. What has changed for Milwaukee over the last few weeks, last few months?
Well, the last time we talked, I think we were talking about the fact that the Brewers got off to the best start in franchise history through 50 games. They were 32-18 through 50 games. Everything was rolling. Josh Hader was dominant. You had Freddie Peralta still healthy. You had Corbin Burns being Corbin Burns. And you had Eric Lauer shocking the world in April and May. Like, wow, this guy a legitimate number two now? So since then, Freddie Peralta's gotten hurt. Adrian Hauser's gotten hurt. They've traded Josh Hader. They've had a ton of injuries on the position player front. And now, finally, everyone's getting healthy. But the Josh Hader trade's the one that really big looms large to the outside looking in. Granted, you know, we've seen him struggle in July. And Giants fans saw it, obviously, with the epic walk-off home run by Yastrzemski right before the All-Star break. And the Brewers might have seen that as a calling card. Of, you know what? In case he implodes here in the second half, like we've already seen so far with the Padres.
I think we lost you there. Dom, do you still have us?
Yeah, I got you guys.
All good, all good. In that answer, you mentioned Josh Hader, and I wanted to ask you more specifically about that trade because I think it kind of caught the baseball industry by surprise. Of course, Hader did not have a good July. He goes to the San Diego Padres, where, of course, he struggled. But Devin Williams, the guy at the back end of this Milwaukee Brewers bullpen, no doubt in my mind that he's deserving of a closer job. And, Dom, this guy might be one of the best relievers in all of baseball right now.
Yeah, heading into the weekend, he actually is second among relievers in Fangraphs WAR, only trailing Edwin Diaz, right? So the fact that he has a better war than Josh Hader, 2.0 versus Hader being practically a replacement-level pitcher this year because of his awful July and August, Devin Williams, it goes two ways with the trade. For one, a lot of folks saw a very awkward, uncomfortable interview of Devin Williams immediately after the trade in Pittsburgh. I will get out in front of it. Devin's not an extroverted guy. And, you know, he talks to the media, but it's not like a – he's not that kind of personality, and you could tell he was uncomfortable losing his best friend. The emotions were still raw and things of that nature. But the other end of that, you know, spectrum is the fact that, hey, wait a minute. The Brewers traded Josh Hader because they believe in Devin Williams. Mm-hmm. They think that he is ready for this role. They think that he can be the closer. And the way he shut things down against the Dodgers the other day, he strikes out the side, and he didn't strike out a single batter using the changeup. He used them all on fastballs. The fastball has been a massive development for Devin Williams this year. Last year, he was a show-me fastball, I'm going to throw changeup. Now it's closer to a 50-50. You don't know what I'm going to throw. I'm dotting an elevated fastball and then fooling you with a changeup for a strike that even if you are fooled and you take it, boom, it's at the bottom of the zone for a strike. And then he can manipulate that to start at the bottom of the zone thinking he's dotting a fastball, and then it falls off from the bottom of it. You swing and miss. You never saw the pitch. He has been phenomenal, and he hasn't skipped a beat. Granted, he did allow the walk-off home run to Brian Reynolds to end his epic scoreless streak. He has not missed a beat since then.
Yeah, I will also add that Brian Reynolds has not missed a beat at all. I mean, that guy's one of the best players in all of baseball in the month of August so far, so no shame in doing that. Tom, I want to ask you a little bit about this Brewers lineup. We're talking with Dominic Catronio. He covers the Milwaukee Brewers ahead of this Giants broadcast today. And Rowdy Tellez, a guy who I think that a lot of people kind of thought of him as a career journeyman, a career, you know, does he have a position? Is he a first baseman DH? But what he's done for the Milwaukee Brewers this season has been quite impressive. Northern California guy. More people deserve to know about Rowdy Tellez.
Rowdy Tellez is already got a career high in home runs. He has an outside shot at a 30-30 season at first base, and a guy that the Blue Jays knew they had something with him. They were fans of him, obviously, but they knew they had Vlad Jr. on the way. And of course, the shiny new toy is the one that's always going to be the one that you're going to give all the favor in the world to, especially with a name like Vlad Jr. So Rowdy was always kind of on the outside, understanding that as soon as Vlad arrived, his playing time was going to get cut in half. And the big thing for Rowdy is he has played against lefties. He has played better than you would expect against for a big left-handed slugger against left-handed pitching. He plays great defense. And the big thing that he talks about, and that what he's learned to become an everyday player, which the Brewers have given him the opportunity to do for the first time in his career, and he's run away with it, is that he needs to play good defense and he needs to hit lefties. He hit a clutch game-tying home run about 2 weeks ago against Tampa Bay in the finale of that series off of a lefty coming off the bench just as a power threat earlier in that game. The Rays thought they played it perfectly, having a lefty on the mound with Rowdy coming up. Surprise, he hits a solo homer to tie the game. He has so much power straightaway center field. He really shocks a lot of people with his hands at first base, how well he can field a position given his size. And with the Northern California note, during the YouTube game that the Brewers had earlier this season, Amy G was actually down in the dugout doing the sideline reporting. Rowdy hits two home runs in that game, and he mentioned that when he went back to San Francisco in that series of the Brewers and Giants, when he saw Amy G for the first time, he's like, I was kind of starstruck because I grew up watching you. And Amy, of course, didn't exactly like hearing that, given like, well, now you're making me feel old. But it was really, really cool to see it come full circle for him. And he has been, honestly, offensively, he's the Brewers MVP.
That's a really cool story, and I love that you touched on the Amy G anecdote, deserving of the praise there from Rowdy Tellez. Hey, a few more for Dominic Catronio. Dom, as we look ahead, about a month and a half left in the season with the extension into the month of October due to Major League Baseball's lockout, what does the Brewers' schedule look like, and can they overcome the hurdles to get back in this wild card race and potentially get back into this NL Central race?
Well, this weekend started a trip of where they're playing of their remaining games. They only have 15 more games against teams above 500. Four with the Cardinals, three with the Yankees, three with the Mets. So that's I'm doing math in my head, so that's 10. And then there's five more somewhere, I'm forgetting where. With the Dodgers, of course, who are coming up this week, Monday through Wednesday. But with this schedule is very home-loaded at the end of things for the Brewers. 21 of their last 26 games are going to be at home thanks to the lockout-adjusted schedule. Right now, they're in the midst of 31 games in 31 days. They have an off day this coming Thursday. Then they'll have another off day for another 15 days. So they're in a really tough stretch right now as far as just playing every day. But now, as you've seen this weekend against the Cubs and going up this week, the Dodgers is really their last test for about a week and a half until they have to face the Cardinals again. They only have four more games head-to-head with the Cardinals. And right now, the Cardinals have taken the edge. The Cardinals have a one-game lead on the Brewers in the season series. So which means with these final four games, all the Cardinals have to do is split, and they win that tiebreaker, whereas the Brewers need to win three out of these four to claim that tiebreaker. And a big thing with the other tiebreakers, too, they do not hold the tiebreaker on both the Phillies and the Padres. So if it does come down to a tied record for that wild card spot, if the Cardinals do hang on to the Central, the Brewers will need to take the wild card outright because they do not have the tiebreakers against the teams they're chasing.
Yeah, all very good information, and as I understand it, there's no more game 163, so the tiebreakers become all the more important this year. Hey, Dom, one last one for you. As we look at this Brewers rotation, assuming they would play one of those first-round kind of wild-card series, whether they win the NL Central or get into the playoffs as a wild-card team, what does their rotation look like behind Corbin Burnes right now? Where is the confidence level in Brandon Woodruff and other pitchers?
Brandon Woodruff, since going on the injured list with a sprained ankle / Raynaud's syndrome, which is the same thing that Tom Glavine actually dealt with for his entire career in his fingers, losing feeling in his fingers. But Brandon Woodruff, since being diagnosed with it and coming off the injured list, has been the Brandon Woodruff of 2018 and 2019. The ball exploding out of his hand, big fastball, confidence, the kind of, hey, I'm a bulldog, I'm better than you attitude on the mound. He is an intimidating presence out there. Something has clicked for his fastball. We've seen him touch 99 a couple of times since coming off the injured list. He's been phenomenal, so there is plenty of confidence in him. And right now, the big project for the Brewers is getting Freddy Peralta stretched out, making sure that Freddy, as he comes back from a shoulder injury, which did not require surgery, mind you, which is what the Brewers are really excited about, and the fact that he came back through rehab very healthy, ahead of schedule, getting him stretched out, he would naturally slot into the three spot for a series. And then if you need Eric Lauer, I guess he would be active for that series. But the real wild card is putting Aaron Ashby for a three-game series into the bullpen. His electric stuff. He throws 98-mile-an-hour sinkers. He has a great curve, a great changeup. And his command, when it's on, he's unhittable. So he would be a wild card coming out of that bullpen. And then Eric Lauer, in theory, would start game one of a DS if the Brewers were able to advance that far. But those four guys, they have all the confidence in the world in moving forward that the Brewers know if they get in, there are going to be plenty of teams terrified. They kind of feel like the Braves last year where they can pitch it and they can swing it. They're fourth in baseball in home run. They're exactly the team you do not want to face in the postseason.
Yeah, it certainly sounds that way. Tremendous insight from Dominic Catronio as we look at the Milwaukee Brewers, a potential playoff team. Dom, thank you so much for joining us, and we really appreciate it, and congratulations on the new gig.
Thank you, man. I got to make sure I get 5 bars of service next time.
All good. Dom, always fun to have you on. Thank you so much. More coming up next on the Giants pregame show. You're listening to KNBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.